I'm Fraser T. Smith, a music artist, record producer, musician and songwriter, and I've made an album called 12 Questions under the name Future Utopia. Each track on the record poses a deep philosophical question, and I've invited some of the sharpest minds in popular culture to answer these questions in order to help me and others navigate living in the modern world. In this episode, I'm honoured to be joined by two of the brightest stars lighting up the new wave of modern artistry and songwriting, Maisie Peters and Griff. Maisie, great to see you again.
You too.
I was looking at the notes, and what would be the female Peter Pan? But all I'm saying is that when I saw the notes, how old are you now?
I'm 21.
And like, when did we meet? Maybe, it feels like we met like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you were smashing it then.
Maybe when I was like 17. Wow. Maybe.
Wow.
Here she is, still here, still
that
clinging
is...
on.
That is unbelievable. And Griff, we are new friends.
We are. We've never met before.
As we've just met. But I want to tell you, I mean, looking at the screen at two of you, I feel like I'm looking at the future of modern music.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it, Fraser.
That's nice.
No. Everything that you guys have done in this short amount of time, slaying your Brits performance, Maisie, your signing, the music that you've been putting out since that time of 17. So 4 years is just so inspirational.
Mm.
Like I'm slightly starstruck here.
No, stop it. I'm slightly starstruck. It's Fraser T. Smith on the
screen. I think we're all a bit starstruck. No one look at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I appreciate you coming on to this 11th episode. How are you both feeling today? It's Monday, it's wet, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're gonna keep the vibe up here. But how are you both... What were you doing at the weekend?
What was I doing at the weekend? I chilled out, actually, which was nice. Like,
good.
After a while of, like, a lot of full-on promo and whatever for the past month, it's been nice to chill, so I'm good.
Of course. Mixtape is fire.
Oh, yeah, crap, the mixtape dropped on Friday, yeah. Yeah, I think I was kind of just, like, decompressing after the mixtape came out on Friday, because it was quite overwhelming.
Do you guys have this thing when something is released? I've only found it recently, having... started to do my own thing at my very young age.
Mm.
Started to do that. But whenever I release something, I feel this, like, I'm so heavy after it. Like, there's so much anticipation. I did we did the first Future Utopia live show on Friday, and I literally this weekend, I've usually got so much energy, but I'm like, just needed to chill.
No,
so much. Do you guys feel that when you release music, like, straight after it, that you're... You sort of feel this, I mean, it's nice, but the sort of heaviness, like you're...
Well, I definitely felt it this time around. I don't know if I always... I definitely feel a bit heavy, but I try not to think about it. But this time around, I think I underestimated how many people would be wanting to give their opinion on this mixtape post-Brits. So that was suddenly very overwhelming come Friday, because I was like, oh my God, like, people are reviewing this like it's an album, and people suddenly are entitled to... be disappointed by it, because of course you're never going to live up to the title Rising Star. So suddenly on Friday it was actually quite like an anxious day to be releasing music, but most of the time I just try
to... But surely all positive.
No, it has actually been positive, but you still overthink it, don't you, and you still get in your head about it. So yeah, what about you, Mace?
So long. I was gonna say, well, I did a soundtrack, that was the last thing with Griff, was on the soundtrack, that's funny. I did a soundtrack and that was the last thing I released, which was really fun. It felt like a magical release where, like, it was still very much me and, like, I'd worked really hard on it, but it wasn't so attached to, like, me as a person and my name and everything you're talking about, Griff, really. So that was, like, a really magical, like, liminal space, which felt really nice. But I think it's talking to people about releasing, people are asking me about the album, and I find it funny because you work so hard and so long on something and then you have to share it with other people. And I just think that's really weird. And
yeah, it's weird.
Like, it's been mine for so long and now it's going to have to be other people's too.
Mm.
And when I announced the album last week, there was a bit of me that was like,
no, it's mine.
Back off. But it's a funny one for sure. It's a lot.
You must be excited about your signing, right, Maisie?
Yeah, it's been really a wild time.
I've got a question though, I'm confused, because I feel like you actually signed ages ago, or has it only been recent?
No, I did. No, I've been signed to Atlantic for ages, who are great, and it's all like technicalities, but Ed's Gingerbread is under Atlantic, is under Asylum. So it's really, it's just that it's jumping. I'm just jumping about, but I love it. Yeah.
Can I just put this out there? Live, well, it's not live, but on this podcast, that my love for Ed Sheeran, I don't even know him that well, right? And my love for him as a human is within the top like 0.0001% of people.
Wow.
For the love that he's shown me for my album. Like, I sent him my album. He said he went down with a mate to listen to it by the lake, and he gave me this like 2-page. There's nothing in it for him.
Stop.
Right?
Yeah.
And then whenever I speak to people, they're like, yeah, I've been... I mean, the Stormzy Ed collaboration is now kind of legendary. But what people don't know is that that's there. But Ed is like this helper of artists. Mm. So all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, and it's kind of, well, not really private, but I mean, it's not for me really to say. But all I will say is that what Ed does for... to my knowledge, Stormzy, Dave, Lewis Capaldi. I mean, this guy is, I don't know where he finds the time to do all this stuff. Because he's just had a lovely, lovely baby. He's living his, you know, he's getting his record together. But he is like a helper of people. And he is just there for artists. And I don't think people realise that. So I want to spread that because he is the most incredible guy. If talent aside, like even if he didn't, even if he wasn't like the biggest artist on the planet, you'd be like, wow, what a nice, what a great guy for just, for no thanks, for no, like, he's not, he does things out of the goodness of his own heart. So I just want to put it out there that I freaking love that guy.
Yeah, how's it been,
Maisie? You're in the safest hands.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah, it's been amazing. He's like, yeah, Fraser, everything you said is 100% true. Like, he's the most generous person probably I've ever met, and he does it so selflessly and so without even thought. Like, there's no like expectations of anything other than he just really truly wants to help and really truly wants to see other people win, which I think is amazing. But yeah, it's been like so cool. I guess everyone grows up at Griff, like, that was very much like our generation. Like, you grew up learning like Icy Fire on the guitar, really.
100%. Every talent show in school, someone did 18. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like every single one.
Wild.
And then, yeah, like getting to sort of meet him. And what was nice about the whole thing, I guess because of the pandemic in some ways, but we actually sort of properly met like over a year ago. I went up to Suffolk and we did some writing. It was me and Ed and our friend Joe Rubel, and actually Johnny McDade was there for a while, so it was very surreal. But we got to really get to know each other like the past year, and we wrote together a couple of different times, but every single time it never felt like really intense pressure. It was always just like, we're just two people, just I guess like two people that made music, that like making music together, that like working together, and it just felt like really natural and really easy and like obvious to sign to him and to work with Gingerbread, I guess. It's been amazing. And like, he's so, you just forget because he's so nice, what you're saying, Fraser. He's so nice and he's so giving, and he wants to talk about others, like, you know, wants to share so much that, but then sometimes he'll just like drop in a casual biggest tour in the whole world ever, and you're like, yes, that is true. Yep,
yeah.
True.
And the other thing is, I mean, I know this is an obvious thing to say, but when you're in the room with him and he just plays a chord and just sings one note, I mean, it's serious.
I say it to everyone, like, all the time. I'm like, it's so, because he's very talented in a lot of ways, but he's like he plays anything or sings anything, and it's like perfect. I guess he's just so intensely, like, intensely skilled and practiced. But it's so crazy, like anything, like any chord, no chord is dud, no note is dud. He doesn't do like, he does like one take of everything.
But like soulful as well, like a like an old blues guy at times.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable. Well, here we are. I'm surrounded by the future of modern music. We're talking about Ed Sheeran, mutual friends, you know, Life is good. So, 12 questions podcast. I'm going to go alternately to you both, and I can't wait to hear your answers. Don't be stressed out by the size of these answers, because I don't know if you heard the Joy Crooks episode, but she just hit me with like one word answers to some of these. So it can be that. It can be big, can be small, can be funny, can be anything you want it to be. There's no pressure.
Great.
Okay. So, Griff.
Yeah.
If I may start with you. Question one. Fear or faith?
Oh, faith. Keep it there.
We'll leave it there? Or do you want to?
Fear or faith? Well,
you can leave it there.
Well, I don't know. Now I feel like I should elaborate. I don't know. It's easier to feel fear, but I feel like you always have to choose faith at the end of it all, you know? So.
It could be a choice, right?
I feel like it is, yeah. I feel like when you say it's a choice, you feel more in control.
Yeah. I like the conscious decision sometimes of these things, because it means you can navigate yourself.
Exactly.
Into the direction that you want. Maisie, question two. How much is enough?
Oh, how much is enough? I think nothing. I don't know if I can't think of the right grammatically correct way to say that, but nothing is enough. I don't think I am wired in a way that I'll ever have something and think that that's enough, which I think is like a gift and a curse at the same time. I think that's the same for, I would assume, a lot of people who make music, or not even necessarily make music, but choose to do something in their life which is hard. Because I think if you're doing that, then you're not someone who's content easily, because if you were, you would do something less hard. So I think that nothing is enough, but I guess what is helpful, or maybe what I should try and do, and is figure out how to be happy and content whilst also seeking more.
That's a good answer. I've only really understood this having read, have you guys read this book called The Four Agreements?
No.
Okay, so The Four Agreements are, which I think you could live your life by very easily. Number one, don't take anything personally. These aren't meant to be easy, by the way, but I think that's a great one. When you see the comments and you read a million great comments and there's one like bad one at on the YouTube comments, and that kind of spoils your day. Okay, so don't take anything personally. Never make assumptions, which is another good one. Clarity of communication. Be exemplary with your word, which I think is another good one. So always speak well about other people. And then the fourth one, which I always used to think, I always used to sort of put this one down a little bit, because I'm very ambitious like you both are, and I always want to strive to make myself better and do all these things. But the fourth one is always do your best. And I think that if you can really go to sleep at night just going, okay, let's not live in the future, let's live just in the present and go, did I do my best? Whatever the outcome is enough.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and I guess if you keep excelling like every single day and you do your best every single day. I could never understand this because, you know, I used to do a lot of running when I was a kid, and you know, if I came like third or fourth or something, I used to get really upset. And my nan always used to go, well, as long as you've done your best. And I was thinking, yeah, but the best wasn't good enough. But actually, she was wise.
But then when in terms of music, was it enough? Does it feel like it's enough for you yet, Fraser, with the amount of success you've had?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. I mean, I feel like I'm starting every single day. And I have to temper that, because sometimes it can get out of control, where I'm just like, it becomes, weirdly, I don't know if you felt this, or you guys feel this after like big performances, but I remember when I performed at the Brits with Dave, and on the Monday, whenever it was, like the next day, I felt like I couldn't do anything in the studio. I just felt like I'd done something good, but then I felt like the polarity the other way. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the more you achieve, the harder it is. Did you feel like that after the Brits, Griff? Did you feel like, or are you surfing this like wave?
No, I definitely felt all sorts after the Brits. Definitely felt anxious the day after the Brits. I always didn't want to turn on my phone. Right. I didn't want to know how it went. Yeah, I guess it's like the more you achieve, the farther you have to fall, you know? There's that dauntingness there.
It's non-linear. Yeah, I think for us all, to as creatives, to balance, you know, what you were saying, Maisie, and I feel strongly going back to Ed, that to have him by your side through this, you know, I know he's done videos on YouTube where he's gone into how he deals with all these things, but to have someone there that can be like a sounding board for you, I think is really important. Because I think people in the industry, you know, Brian and all the great other people you have around you, that's brilliant, but you kind of need someone that has done what you've done to be like, yeah, I know what it's like coming off stage at the Brits, and I know what it's like the day after, I know what it's like selling out Madison Square Garden and maybe not feeling how you're meant to feel or any of these things. I think that's good to navigate.
I think it's especially nowadays, like, you cut all things that come with these achievements or these milestones, especially, I don't want to keep talking about the pandemic, but I just think it's interesting, like, contextually. And I feel like milestones or achievements this past year have been so weird, because a lot of them you haven't even been anywhere else apart from your home. So, like, I don't know, Griff, like, we've both done, like, late night debuts, which is, like, amazing, like, on American TV, which has been amazing. But also, neither of us went to America.
Yeah, it's weird.
Neither of us left London.
Yeah.
So you, like, do these crazy, like, objectively crazy achievements, but then mixed with the fact that nowadays, like, more than ever, it's not enough. It's also, I guess, because of social media and the way the world is nowadays, it's not enough to just go and do them.
No.
There's, like, thousands of pieces of promo around it, and there's social media, and there's meetings. There's just so much around those things, and I think that it can feel very overwhelming. And also, like, it's not enough. Like, you've done a thing that should be objectively really milestone-y.
Yeah.
It's not a word. And it feels like you're just, and I think this is the same for everything, but it feels like you're sometimes just constantly moving and not acknowledging what's around you. I don't know, does anyone agree?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. It's never enough. I think also, as a creator, I think people will always, we always want to create, and then everyone around us always demands for it. So that, in that sense, the demand for whatever we create is never enough as well. And so I think, like, whether it's your team, whether it's your fans, whether it's whatever, it's like, oh, could you do another thing? Or could you write, we need more hit songs, we need more promo, we need more posts on Instagram. And you're like, cool, I don't know where you think this everlasting flow of creativity is coming from, because it's going to stop at some point. But yeah, it's interesting.
I think that the commercial machine is infinite, so that you have to sort of know that is something that will always be asking you for more and more and more. Even if, you know, you win 10 Grammys, then it'll be like, hey, but, you know, got to win 11 next year and all that kind of stuff. But I found, like, getting older, that to actually ground yourself is the most important thing. We're really lucky in that we live in the country here, but, I mean, there's lots of greenery in London. But literally to get out into nature after things like that, like big things, good or bad, and just to really kind of, I think that's one of the best things. Because I think otherwise you can find yourself on this sort of, literally on a loop in the studio or by the keyboard or by the guitar, or it can become, and I think that's where you can, your head can spin out a bit. I think just taking a little bit of time to have by yourself is massively important. We're only on question three, but I promise you we're gonna get through these. But I'm really enjoying talking to you guys. Good insights. Griff, do we really care?
Like, unfortunately, yes. Wish I could say I didn't. It depends about what, but yeah. Well, you care about your art and you care about what you're making, and then do you care about what people think? Unfortunately, yes, you know? So, yeah, I think that's my answer.
It's good. Maisie, what's in a name?
Letters, but also, I think, whatever you want it to be. I immediately thought of people's names. And I guess what's in a name is kind of nothing. It depends what you want to be and who you want to be. So I'm going to actually just stick with my initial answer, which was letters.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Because that also, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but that says it's all about perception. It's all about what you make it, right?
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Which is very powerful. Which is what, we're going back to what we were saying about fear or faith, it's up to you. You perceive it as history, or you can throw history out the window, or you can throw prejudices out of the window, which is very healthy. Letters. Love that. Griff, why are we divided when we're so connected?
Why are we divided when we're so connected?
It's a lot for Monday morning.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
Why are we divided when we're so connected? I don't know, because people, I immediately thought, I don't know, but people are so different, and I think it's easier to see difference than it is to see what we have in common, you know? I don't know. I also just think people are very broken innately. And so the byproduct of that is to be divided, and yeah.
Good answer. Good answer. Maisie, how do we find our truth?
With great difficulty. I think, full stop, I think that it's very hard to be very true nowadays. I think that there's a lot that sort of doesn't necessarily stop you, but that makes it easier sometimes to not pick the harder, more complicated road of truth. It's harder to sort of shy away from it, maybe, than live it like totally freely. But it's really hard, I think. How do you even know what that is? Mm. Especially when you're young, how do you know what your truth is? There could be lots of things that are true. I feel like I like writing about that a lot. Like, two things can be true and also contradictory at the same time. So I think with great difficulty.
Mm.
Do you think that you both have found your truth through music, though?
I don't know. Some days I would think, surely this can't be it. It goes back to the whole enough is enough thing. I think I find my truth in it, in that, like, it's 100% who I am, what I'm best at doing, and what I feel like I've been put on this planet to do. But then you go, is it enough? So I'm like, I don't know if I'll be doing music forever, but for now, I guess it's how I'm finding my truth and how I'm expressing whatever that is.
I feel, I like that. I think similarly, I feel when I'm making music, when I'm writing or in the studio, I feel very, 99% of the time, very at ease and very, like, confident. Just not, like, necessarily in what I'm making, just in myself, in that space. So I guess that is, by definition, I think that's quite true, if you feel like that when you're doing something. It's like there's no part of me that's doing it for anyone else, really. Still, there's no part of me that when I like sit at a keyboard is doing it for any other reason than I want to sit at the keyboard, or like writing a song. I write all the time still, and if I didn't write all the time, maybe it would mean that it wasn't so much of like who I am and what I loved, but I'll still write songs upon songs that will never come out, and that I don't care about coming out, and that I don't need to send to anybody or share or post or produce. You just do it because you want to do it, and I think that means that it's probably true.
Mm.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot. So, Griff, what's the cost of freedom?
What's the cost of freedom? I'm not actually sure. Is that an answer?
Yeah, completely.
What is the completely. What? I don't know. I kind of want to open it up to provoke what I think about that.
Let's dig in.
So, I've said this a couple of other times, so apologies if anyone's listening to this and they're like, he just keeps banging on about Albert Woodfox. But so Albert Woodfox, the Black Panther, who I went to visit to ask this question for the record, in New Orleans was released 5 years ago after having spent 44 years in a 6x9 feet cell in prison, 23 hours a day. His answer basically, to summarize it, said that there is no cost of freedom because he was able to free himself. So he emancipated himself, his mind, freed himself with 30 years left to serve in this tiny cell. So I was fascinated by that answer because I felt that he was probably the best person on the planet to answer that. And I think that his answer was so uplifting, especially this was pre-COVID that I asked him this. And then to actually feed that back into the fact that we've all been held a little bit captive in our houses and been our freedom's been taken away during the pandemic. I thought that that was just such an incredible answer. The freedom from his perspective and it's become my perspective now is again like the fear or faith thing is something that you have control over. But I guess for you guys, you're becoming incredibly successful, and with that becomes that this freedom, I guess, with the success that you're associated with, this freedom with, I don't know, if you're earning more money, that enables you to become free, but there's also like tight schedules, so that in some ways takes away your freedom. But I guess the coming back to Albert's answer, if you feel hemmed in, then you are hemmed in. But if you feel free, you feel free. And if you feel that 10 hours of promo on one day, if you're like, I'm free because I choose the answers that I give to people, I choose to be free in my mind, even though I might be sat in my house doing like 10 Zoom meetings.
Yeah, I mean, Maze, do you feel free in your life right now?
In ways, I would say that part of being an artist like myself and like Griff, I guess, with like where we are in our careers right now and sort of the help we've received and the people we get to work with, is that that does come with a sense of responsibility and a sense of really wanting to make people proud, but also, I don't really like that word, also like you want to prove people right that they backed you and that they believed in you. And I said this to my manager the other day. I was like, I don't want to be the reason that this album is not as successful as I want it to be. So therefore, that means I will do everything that I think I can to make sure that's not, that it does what I want it to do, which is great. But then I don't, in a way, that's no one's fault but my own, but it's not a very freeing thought, I guess, because I'm very locked into a thing, which I choose to be locked into. So maybe that is, in sort of Fraser, what you're talking about, I guess that is, there's some level of freedom to that because I very much choose it. But I do think that, yeah, sometimes I think it's good to feel responsibility and to feel a sense of, I can't think of what the right word is. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I think it's good, but I do think it's there is a lack of freedom in it to an extent.
Totally, yeah.
That's a good one. All these things are like non-linear. There's no right answer. So there's only stuff to draw from. And I think the things with these questions is that they'll change on a day-to-day basis, which is a fun thing as well. They're meant to provoke certain feelings, and I think with the record, you know, there's some incredible people that answer the questions in the form of rap or spoken word, but it's not a soapbox to say this is the truth whatsoever. I mean, the sort of polarity of it, of all these questions, is really interesting. Maisie, is it too late to save the planet?
You have to choose no. You can't choose yes. So, no, it's not. But I would be lying to say that. I think I sometimes feel like a sense of like quiet hopelessness, in that I just can't. How it's going to be such a banding, how everyone's going to band together, when it feels kind of, actually linking to what Griff said earlier, it does feel like there's the question when you asked about how are people so divided and yet so connected. We're all very connected, but it feels like a very divided planet right now. So I am excited and willful of people connecting, but sometimes it feels like I don't see how that's going to feasibly work.
I love the fact that we're referencing these other questions, because I think that they do bump into each other in a nice way, and they
spark of each other. Griff, what happens next? This could be personal, by the way, or this could be like, well, I'm going to have a cup of tea, or this can be the world gets into AI and we become robots.
Well, I don't know what happens next. Next for me is I'm going to go to rehearsals. Next for me is try to figure out how the hell to write an album, because I've never done that. Next for the world.
Hang on a minute. How many tracks are on your mixtape? 11?
No, 7.
7. Okay, so you're well on the way.
You only need to do like 3 more. That's fine.
Yeah, but I need to start again. Like, the mixtape will be done and parked. But yeah.
Yeah, but
there wasn't the pressure on the mixtape. It was like, call it a mixtape. It's not really like an album. Like, it's not deep. Whereas an album feels scary, you know?
I think if you break it down into the constituent parts, my two pieces of advice for you, Griff, is get loads of whiteboards.
Okay.
In your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just start breaking it down, because then you can actually, every time you walk in, you can see it, rather than this album thing, which can be very overwhelming. Just break it down. Like, get 4 of those white, huge whiteboards off of Amazon, and you just cross out stuff. And the other thing is just put a theme behind it. So it doesn't have to be like a crazy concept like Sgt. Pepper or Dark Side of the Moon, but I think that always brings it back to a central theme.
That's the hard bit, though. That's not just put a theme behind it. Like, theme is so big.
But I would say, I agree, but you can find the theme at the end. And I also think Fraser's a lot more experienced and knowledgeable about this than me. I've like bantered together one over a year, but I feel like it helped me to think that I've really been, and you have as well, definitely. You've definitely been making this album like all of your creative life. It's the first album. That's why it's such good times, because you've been doing it for so long. You have all of your life up until now to do it. And it's really just a collection of songs that you love. So if you do that and you collect up a bunch of songs that you really love, that will be a great album. Mm. Absolutely.
I love that.
And you can also, what's quite powerful is within the loose concept, you could also say, actually, I really want this guitar to have loads of guitars, stroke, no guitars. I want it to just, it's quite powerful to think that you're going to have loads of albums throughout your career. Like, what would this record sound like? I think that the more preparation you can do, and it's not to say that the guitars can't creep in. I mean, that's a quite an obtuse example, but you can say, I want my vocal to be really close and really present throughout this whole record. So therefore, I'll let my engineer know that that's the thing. Or I want it to feel very intimate. I want it to feel very big, very rangy. Like, what kind of shows are you going to be playing after this? If they're big, then I'm probably going to need that some songs to be a bit anthemic. And you can really start mapping out the journey of the record through this. And I think that I'm a big believer in this. Even if you get together with one song, like, I always just have this big chat before, which, because I think going in and kind of, well, it's not even stumbling, but having fun around all the instruments and all the infinite possibilities within our computers is great. But I do think like setting the controls is super important at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I think the more you can do of that, then the Brian Eno, who was a guest on the podcast, came up with these deck of cards called Oblique Strategies.
Mm.
And I kind of sometimes live by these. One of the strategies, which is basically to help you creatively, is plan slowly, execute quickly.
Mm.
I think that's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
Because it's like, just spend some time on your own and just really, whether it's listening to other albums that you love, or like, what is it about this that is, and just write down this kind of shopping list of what you want, what you don't want. And it's, if you, the analogy of setting the sat nav, the coordinates on the sat nav, it doesn't mean that you can't come off and go to a Starbucks drive through or go off on a B road and find a little restaurant. At all. It's not saying that it has to be this, it has to be that, because as musicians, I'm sure we're all the same. Like, I don't like rules, but it's nice to set a little navigation route to where you'd want to get to in the end. And then once you know that the end is kind of in sight because you've written it down, then you can take these things and go, actually, my guitar is actually just all guitar.
Mm.
And my album is all guitar and vocal. I didn't think it was going to be that, but I set the coordinates. Because, yeah, I feel any big project is overwhelming at the beginning. You've got to break it down and be into the constituent parts. I digress. Maisie, nature or nurture? You're a musical prodigy from a musical family?
No. Okay. Definitely not. None of my family is musical at all. But I immediately thought of, I have a twin sister. So I feel like that's like a fun nature and nurture
the
angle.
The
because
best.
We're completely different. You've never met two dissimilar people in your, two more dissimilar people in your life. But we had the exact same like control upbringing, as in not the upbringing was controlled, as in like the science word. Anyway.
Yeah. DNA was.
Yeah. As in it was the set, you know, carbon copy, bang, bang upbringing. And we are completely different. So I
guess
I would say nurture. Ellen.
Ellen. And what does she do?
Parties. But I guess she more...
She goes to or organises?
Goes to. Organises sometimes too.
Love
Right. She is a student. she's finished now. She just finished her degree, which is very impressive. And she went to Nottingham University. And she did a fashion and business degree. Very impressive again. But we're just as people, personality traits, which I do think I always talk about whether one person... I'm trying to think of a good example to explain this. If I think I'm very steady and diplomatic, and I think she's a lot more fiery and sort of not necessarily like she's looking for a fight, but I think she's much more likely to stand up for what she wants. But I wonder if I'm my way because she was her way first, or vice versa, and you as a twin, as twins, we sort of subconsciously decided to pick the other one wasn't, to differentiate. I don't know.
Are you identical twins?
No.
No. But do you have that thing where she'll feel sad, you feel sad, but you can be in different parts of the world? You know, that twin
yeah,
thing?
Yeah. I don't know. I would say that's, I'm way too cynical to think that that's a thing. I would say that I do, even though we're very different and we're not together a lot anymore, because obviously we don't live in the same place, I still feel very close to her, even though we don't, it's not like we're constantly talking or we're in the same place, but I do think there's like a connection there that is would be very difficult to sort of break. And yeah, and I do feel very strongly there's like no one I think deserves better than Ellen. I think she deserves like everything in the entire world, and I'm very furious when I think she doesn't get it.
Oh. But you're a perfect person to ask then this question.
I am.
Having a twin. Griff, what matters most?
Oh, being a good person and loving people and putting people before yourself, I think. And I don't know, I think for me that's a lot centred around like my own faith as well. And that's what matters to me. But I'd say, yeah, generally just trying to be good. You know,
great answer, great sentiment.
Thanks.
And last but not least, Maisie, what is love?
Oh, I feel like Maisie got really, you really draw the short straw with the questions.
I did every time.
You got What's the Cost of Freedom though.
That's true.
I did, but then I just swerved it.
Yeah.
We opened it.
Yeah,
exactly. What is love? Love is kind of actually, I'm gonna link to what Griff just said. It's putting someone else above yourself when it matters the most.
Perfect. It's a perfect answer. We did it.
We did it. We got through them.
12 questions. That wasn't that bad, was it?
I'm going to go away and be really annoyed. I'm going to be driving to the studio thinking, what is the cost of freedom? Duh, that should have been my answer.
I'm just going to go rock back and forth quietly.
Literally. Yeah.
It's meant to be like a little mental health spa this hour, I think.
Yeah, it's great.
You know?
No,
you just ponder
really
these questions
good.
Together. I've learned a lot from you both. Griff, we've never met.
We've never met.
Maisie, we've reconnected.
It's great.
Great times.
We've bantered about answers to life, the universe. It's been the best way to start a rainy Monday morning.
I would actually agree. I would agree.
Totally.
But you guys have been incredible.
Great.
Griff, Maisie, thank you so much for coming on this 11th episode of the 12 Questions podcast.
Thanks.
And as I said, you are the future of modern music. Take that baton and run with it and keep doing what you're doing, because...
Oh, God, we'll try.
The music you're creating is inspirational and long may that continue.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fraser.
I mean it.
The varying changes in perspectives that we learn week after week from hearing the answers of our guests never cease to amaze me. And in this episode, I loved how Griff and Maisie made connections between a lot of the questions and answers. It reinforced the theory for me that however far-ranging these questions are, we can probably narrow down the answer to one universal truth, which is love itself. Love of ourselves, love of each other, and love of our environment. If you haven't listened already, check out 12 Questions by me, Fraser T. Smith, aka Future Utopia, available on all the major streaming services. And don't forget to subscribe and like this podcast. Also, ask yourself the 12 questions, ask other people the 12 questions. I put this record out to stir debate and hopefully create change. So why don't you send us your answers to the 12 questions on Instagram and Twitter at The Future Utopia. Last but not least, a massive shout out to Becky Voice at the Tape Agency and my management crew, Phil, Kate, Jasmine and Josh at 360 for helping make this podcast happen. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. And until then, let's make the future a utopia.